drive you crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the more you repress, the more depressed you're going to get.
I've never heard it like that.
I studied psychology a little bit in college. You have to let it out, man. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, I'm a crier. I'll tell you right now, I'm a crier. I got the biggest, like, I can watch E.T., for example, and cry like a baby. E.T. But you know what a real man is? A man that is not scared to cry in front of somebody. And that's you expressing your feelings. You're getting that shit out of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, God told me to call you real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I appreciate it, because it's just been so rough, like, the past 6 years when I moved up here. It was like you said, like, it wasn't good for me to bottle up, and I just think it all just leaked out just the past couple weeks, and it's just, I think what's really fucking me up is, like, I sit in my room all day long. I go through jobs, deny. And then it's like, I have all these bills coming up. I have a car. It's not the same one anymore. It's a Ford Fusion. I've been paying for that, paying for my phone, paying for this. And then it's like, well, you're not making any money now. And it's like, how do you support? And then I have to do DoorDash, and that doesn't always work. And then my parents are breathing down my throat. And I've talked to my mom about it, and she acts like she understands, but she just thinks I do it for attention sometimes. And I'm like, Mom, like, this is, don't tell me that, you know, we have family members that, like, battle depression and kill themselves, and then you go and care about all these other kids that go through shit, but your kid, you just, like, push to the side. You know, I just...
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Goshen, Virginia, but I'm sitting in my bedroom at the moment. At my parents' house. I moved back last year, but then it came back.
Something that can change your life?
What's that?
What I'm doing right now.
What are you doing?
I sell life insurance. I mean, fuck DoorDash.
I know, that shit sucks.
Like, you still got my actual phone number, right?
Yeah, I ended up changing phones because some idiot kept calling me, asking me if I was this woman and this. I told him millions of times, even blocked number, and then all these random numbers. Are you Cody? Are you Cody? Are you Penny? Are you Penny? I'm like, I'm neither one of them. So I changed my number again, but I still have yours.
Call me on that, because this is kind of blotchy.
Yeah, I'll call you on it. One sec.
Hello?
Hey, it's me, Nick.
Yeah, much better now. All right, so what I do, I mean, like, you can go out one day and you might not do anything, but then the next day you go out and you write, you know, $600-$700 for the annual premium, or $2,000 for the annual premium. You being in Virginia, man, like, Virginia is not a very saturated market. You gotta take a state exam, pass it, and then go somewhere and take another exam. And once you get your license, bro, I mean, you buy some leads, or you can cold knock, and, you know, you buy a couple leads to get you in an area. And then you just start neighbor knocking. You get in the house. I mean, you could do it, but you got the personality for it. It could change your life. I mean, I only worked one day this week, pretty much, and made like $300.
Damn, that's not bad at all.
I mean, that's a whole paycheck for somebody working all week.
Definitely.
You know, most people get paid like $600 a month, every 2 weeks. I made $300. Week before, I made $900.
Whoa.
I mean, there's people. I mean, you can easily make $100,000 if you, like, stick to the system, and, you know, go out there and hustle. And Virginia, I'm actually getting ready to get my Virginia license. How far are you from Wilson?
Alexa, how far is Wilson, North Carolina from here? Wilson is 231. 5 hours and 20 minutes.
Fucking A. All right. What kind of like, are you in a city? You in a little small town? What are you in?
I'm in like the country. We're way out here in the country. Everything besides like a Walmart is an hour away in every direction. I was like, Jesus Christ, you moved me out to the sticks for real, Mom. Like, damn. So, originally, how I ended up here, because we have no family up here. I'm from Wilson. I was born in Wilson, but raised in Rocky Mount. So, what happened was my stepdad didn't know his biological mom. They lived in Baltimore. She had a brother that moved out here to Virginia in the mountains, a little town called Elkton, which is an hour and 30 minutes. He moved out here. She moved out here. We met up with them. My mom found them in 2011, rekindled that relationship. They liked it, moved in with them, got a house in Elkton, lived there from December 2016 to March of 2019. And then we moved to this house, which is even further away from North Carolina. We're like closer to West Virginia now. And of course, the internet's better, thank God. But other than that, like, I'm happy that we have a nice big house of 17 acres, but it's just like, you know, not everything is perfect, honestly. And his mom ended up moving away to Illinois, and my parents just decided to stay here, which honestly, everybody I know that moved out has moved back. And I moved back last year because I got kicked out and I stayed with my sister. I was working for McLean, and I was doing that for a while, working 16 hours every freaking day, which was wild. I'd get up at 3, get there at 4 because I was only 30 minutes away, clock in at 4 a.m. and work until 8 p.m. at night, and then go home, drive 30 minutes. I only had time to eat, take a shower, put out clothes, and get up and do it again. And I worked in the cold storage unit, so it was always freezing in there. It would be like 29 degrees, and then in the freezer it was 10 degrees, and we just didn't really have much to do sometimes. We'd stand around. I was like, oh my God, this is miserable. It sucked. But then I moved in with some girl because me and my sister didn't see eye to eye, and that girl was toxic as hell, crazy as shit. I don't mainly say that about people, but that was a hell of a ride. So I moved in with her sister after that, and then some more, you know, drama with her parents and her sister. And I told my roommate, I was like, look, that's your sister, that's your parents. I'm not going to get into it with them. You got kids here. I'm not trying to get in a fight with anybody. I'll just leave. So I ended up moving back up here, which, It sucks, but, you know, I've been trying to work my ass off. I told my buddy Brandon we were supposed to get a place back in February. Well, we were supposed to have the house he lives in now back last year, of the beginning of the year, but his mom never moved out with her boyfriend. He ended up breaking it off with her, so they didn't move to Hawaii like they're supposed to, because I was supposed to take over her room, and then me, him, and Matthew could just break the rent together, and it would have been all right. But, yeah, so that's how I ended up back up here, and it's just, Virginia's just not it. Like, it's expensive. You have to put like two plates on your car. You know, the Commonwealth is just, it's not very much. And like you said, it's not very, like, you know, the market's not that good for anything. It's just constantly just bad on everything. I'll look at Indeed and it'll be like, well, this many people. And it's just, it's really rough, because my mom was like, oh, it's just you, it's not Virginia. I said, Mom, I moved back for like 5 months and had two different jobs. One was McLean and the other one was a moving company. The only reason I left the moving company is because I had to come back up here. I said, so what the hell are you talking about? I had two different jobs that got back to me immediately. I come up here, barely nothing. I've had one job this whole year. One job.
Well, how would you like to be your own boss?
I would love to do that. I just never knew how to. I mean, I've been reading all these different books. What is this one book I'm reading? I've been reading all these different books because I would love to one day. I just never knew exactly how to go about it. Where the damn book at? I just had it in my fucking hand. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's right there. Small business startup kit.
I'm going to get you on a three-way call real quick, all right? All
right.
With my direct supervisor. Hold on. You pretty much place up your own hours. Like, if you don't, say if you're sick, you ain't got to go to work. If you got a doctor's appointment, you can go out after you get done with your doctor's appointment. If you got something you just got to take care of with your car, you can, you know, do that and then go back out in the field. Like, what we do is we sell life insurance. And it's literally all you say is, Hey, sorry to catch you off guard. My name's Carlton with North American Senior Benefits, licensed by the state. I'm just a local benefits coordinator for the area. It's just my job to go over your new 2023 state regulated benefits programs with about 5 or 10 minutes. Where would you like to do that, inside or outside? And then you get inside, you connect with them, and then you go over like the 5 different areas that we help out with, which is like your prescriptions, your dental, your vision, your hearing. And the 5th and final way that we're actually able to help out is what I'm actually specialized in. It's what my company actually hired me to do, and that's to go over your new 2023 state regulated life insurance program. I know a lot of people already have it. That's great. That makes my job so much easier. But 98% of the people that I talk to fall in one of these 5 categories. And then you go through the list of the 5 categories. It's like they don't have any coverage, they're paying too much, they're unaware of a paid-up policy, something's wrong with their policy, and shit. Now I'm looking at my iPad when I'm doing all this. Unaware of a paid-up policy, and... no coverage, you're paying too much. It's the third one I missed. Anyway, there's like 5 different things. All right, and then you go into the way that we're actually able to help out is we work hand-in-hand with all your state top regulated companies. And what that means by being state regulated is the state actually comes in every 2 to 4 years, tells them what they can and cannot charge, actually updates their discount programs and their benefits programs. I mean, it's an easy job. I mean, you can talk to people, so you do good.
Right.
And it could get you out of a financial situation.
Yeah, because that's what's mainly, like, crumbling me the most is just finances. That's, like, the major big point out of what's been going on lately is just that. Mostly.
I mean, the only thing, it's going to cost you a little bit of money to get started. I mean, you got, hold on a second.
That's fine.
And he can, like, give you everything that we got, like, and tell you everything that we do.
So when did you get into that? Because last time I spoke to you, what, 2019, you were at Lowe's?
Yeah, I was at Lowe's then, yeah. I've been doing this since June.
Of this year?
I'm able to pay my bills, house payment, electric bill. I live on my own. House payment, electric bill, cell phone bill, my cable bill. All the bills that I got, I can pay them. You got to put in some time. You got to put in a little bit of work. But, I mean, there's people that make over $100,000 with our company.
Jeez.
Off their own pen. Then you got people that make $900,000, $150,000, $300,000, $800,000. Dylan Brewer is my direct. His direct is a woman named Blythe. Blythe makes over like $750,000 a year.
Damn.
Her boyfriend makes over $1 million a year.
Wow.
And you being in Virginia, Virginia's not very saturated with agents. So you could fucking rank bank in there.
Especially on this side. There ain't nothing on this side of the fucking state.
I mean, where's the nearest city to you? Like a big city?
An hour away. I have 2 big cities in our direction. I got Roanoke, which is the size of Raleigh. And then I have Stanton, which is like the size of Wilson. But yeah, about the size of Wilson. And then I got Harrisonburg, and then I got Charlottesville, which Charlottesville is about the size of Raleigh as well. but that's about an hour and 20. But the closest is Roanoke, which is 50 minutes, and it's the size of Raleigh.
If you get licensed up, I'll go up there and we'll go together. We'll tag team it.
Yeah, because I'm really good because when it comes to talking to stuff, because earlier this year I worked for Via Satellite, which we're just a contractor for, what's it called, Dish. So we had to go into people's homes, talk to them, and whatever they needed, we got that fixed. But then we also had, like, tried to sell them something extra, like a sound bar, or do y'all want speakers? Do you want the sound bar and the speakers, or you just want one or the other? So not only we were there doing our job and teaching them how to use their equipment, we were also there pitching them, like, hey, it's a good idea to upgrade on this or buy this instead. So I have a little bit of sales experience.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. You got some sales experience behind it. You'd be good, man. But I guarantee you, man, shit. You can crush it. I mean, I believe in you. Like, 100%, I believe in you, Nick. Like, you can do good things for this company.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid of hard work or afraid to put in any time at all. That's something I love doing. That's something I like about my trade, is that I love taking challenges on regardless of how easy or how hard they are, and learning something. I'm not afraid to learn. Like, I always am a student of everything. So, like, whatever I'm learning, I make sure that I actually learn it and pay attention. If I have any questions, I make sure to ask them. And that's something that a lot of people my age don't have that trait. They'll tell you, but then you'll see it, and you're like, nah, they're just talking. Talking is different. Talk is cheap.
And I'm getting just sending a message to my direct's boss. And if she can't answer, I'm going to call, like, the big boss. Because I don't want to see you, like, you know, hurt yourself, number one. Number two, I want to see you succeed. You were good at Parker's. I mean, you were young. And, I mean, you had a good work ethic. You were always on time and all that stuff. And you worked hard. So,
the thing about back then, I think what really made it extra hard for me back then is there was an expectation from Brad that was on me that was a little bit too much for an average person. And I think there was some things, I think there was some things that he was, now that I sit back and reflect on it, I think there was some things that he wanted to tell me, but he didn't want to hurt my feelings or, like, make him look bad in front of my mom. I don't know what he has this high standard of my mother for. Like, he has this high expectation, like, he looks at my mother like he looks at Dawn, like, all respect. And, like, it's cool to have respect, but, like, she was just your boss for one point in time in your life before you came to Parker's. Like, it's not like she got you on to something. You know, she didn't get you on the Parker's. She didn't do any of that, so I don't know what it is. Like, I'm glad he wanted the best of me, but at the same time, it seemed like it was good. It was a blessing, a curse, because I feel like he would blame you for some things and make you look like the bad guy when he wanted to tell me himself, but it was easier to put it off on you than put it on himself, because he didn't want me to go back and be like, yo, mom, like, Brad said this about me, and then her getting mad at him or some crazy shit like that. I don't know what he was thinking.
Man, Brad's a piece of shit. Like, I went in there, like, right before I got this job, right? Boys! I've got a boxer and an Aussie poo. And the Aussie poo is, like, 4 months old, and the boxer is 4 years old. That's my girlfriend's dog, and they like to, like, play fight. That shit gets my last fucking nerve. You think that Brad was, like, making me out to be the bad guy?
Well, it seemed like it, because there was always times where he'd be like, well, you couldn't work the morning. Like, there was a time where that time that I worked that one morning, and he was like, well, I'm going to let you work it, but Carlton really don't think that you're ready for it. Which, I mean, it could be true, but it could be false. But, like, he'd be like, well, you know, Carlton talked to me last night. He said, you didn't do a great job mopping. Or, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. And I'm just like, it became a stress.
I mean, I never said a damn thing about anybody mopping. I didn't even think about people mopping. Like, just wet the floor and just get the fuck out of there. Let's go to hell home.
Right. It was always like, he didn't think you're this. You're this.
He put the blame game on me.
And that's kind of like where I started feeling resentment, because me and you didn't know each other. Like, I didn't know you as good as like the boys did. So it was like, you're a stranger to me. So Brad, somebody that my mom knew, I was of course going to pull with him more than I was going to pull with you, but I never sat and asked you either. So it was my fault for not asking, but at the same time, you know, I was only 18 at the time, so I wasn't going to be like, hey man, like, I was going to have that adult conversation. You know, I wasn't mature enough at that time to have that yet. But it bothered me, because it was like he wasn't happy with the work. So it was like, oh, let me blame Carlton. Like, oh, Carlton don't think you're ready to work with the big boys yet, or this. And I'm just like, just give me a chance, man. Like, he would always do that.
Here's the kicker, all right? Here's something funny. All right, so I went there back in March. It might have been February, because I had quit my job. I was looking at a concrete job, and it sucked. But I did that for like 6-7 months. But, I mean, I got a bad back. So, like, me being on my hands and knees with a damn disc sander and, like, sanding around the perimeters of I'm getting ready to kick y'all's ass. Locked up. Me with a little sander, like, on my hands and knees going around and, like, doing the parameters so the other guy can come around with the big machine and finish the rest of the floor space. I got tired of it, man. Like, you're in areas where it's an unfinished building, so you don't have any heat. You don't have any air. So you're either hot as hell or you're freezing your ass off. I got tired of it. So I quit. And I was like, well, shit. I thought I'd, you know, pass my test. I mean, this is a hard test to take now. I didn't pass it on the first time. Didn't pass it on, you know, third, fourth, fifth. Finally passed it on the sixth time. I'd always fail it by one question. But, I mean, it's been a life-changing experience. But here's the thing, though. Like, we have such a tight-knit, like, work environment. Like, say if you're struggling, boom, somebody's there. Like, there's some people in Virginia. I mean, there might be some people in West Virginia. But, I mean, you could fucking, like, write bank up there in Virginia. But the thing is, all right, so you take that test. But let me go back where I was initially going with. I went out there and asked if I could be like a part-time, you know, just work on a weekend. Eric was fine with it. Kevin was fine with it. Chad, who replaced me, was fine with it. I mean, I hired him. Brad was the one that didn't want me to come back. And I found out through who was that real tall, skinny kid that used to work out there?
What'd he look like? I bet you I can guess.
Tall, skinny. Dude, I'm getting ready to fuck you up, man. I'm tired of being a puppy. Visit was his last name.
Visit?
Austin Visit.
I don't think I knew him.
You remember him?
No, I don't remember him.
He told me at a baseball game at the Tobbs, he's like, you know, they didn't let you come back. I was like, I was just going there for like a last resort to make some money before I passed my test. He's like, Brad was scared you were going to take his job. him and Nicola split up.
Oh, so he's divorced now?
Every weekend, he's going to bars. And, I walked down to Ring 2, and I was like, hey, guys, I was like, are y'all going to fill up the I'm a civilian, technically, like a customer. It was like 9:45, and I was sitting behind the counter talking to Cynthia, and I was like, are they not going to do any side work? She's like, they don't do it no more. She's like, Brad a lot of lazy now. He's always outside. And I was like, what in the world? He's like, he don't care no more.
But he was dying to want to be an owner.
I was like, guys, are y'all going to do any work? I was like, napkins haven't been filled. I was like, hot and fall. Dinner ain't been filled. The sugar crackers haven't been filled. Salt and pepper hasn't been filled. Tables ain't been wiped off. And one guy was like, who the hell are you? I want to say it was Austin. He said, this is Carlton. He used to be the manager here. He's like, and y'all wouldn't work here if he was still a manager. I was like, y'all need to get y'all lazy asses up and get to fucking work. And they got up and went to work. I was like, because I'm coming back. And they got up and they went to work.
I heard that Chad made a mistake, too, one time. I'm not really sure how this was, but I don't know if you told me or one of the other people told me. I think it might have been you where they wrote Doug and everybody on the list, and they were supposed to have that day off, and Eric got mad and told Chad to fire all of them. Was it you? I think it was you that told me that.
If Chad was writing the list, I won't bear.
Yeah, because you were telling me, because you ran into Doug, you said you ran into him a little bit after, or he was, like, working at Crackle Barrel or something.
You know Doug killed himself, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you the funny thing about that. I found out on Instagram through Alex, and then I asked Nick Taylor, the guy who trained me, I asked him how it happened. He told me he killed himself. So I was looking around on Facebook, and I was like, asked Alex, I said, yo, like, did they bury him or anything? Because I'd like to go visit. Because, I mean, I hung out with him a little bit outside of work. Like, we went to Chick-fil-A, and they also came out the dark side to see me, like, perform at the haunted attraction. So I felt like, in a way, that I didn't know him like that. We didn't grow up, and we weren't, like, best friends or nothing. But, you know, I felt like I needed to pay my respects because he was the one that, like, egged me on to continue with the music. Alex is the one that told me to continue with the negative part of it. Doug was just like, hey, dude, you sound decent. Go continue with it, even though it was fucking hot trash. So I was looking up, and I saw this tombstone, and it was like a headstone, and it had his name on it. I found it on some, like, person's page. I had to really go digging on Facebook for it. So I thought to myself, I said, yeah, Wilson only has two graveyards that I know of, Thomas and the Evergreen, and the one over there by Barton. We don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
So I went.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
I went there, and I was like, no, I can't be where my buddy Aaron is buried, because my buddy Aaron Scott Keene, he's buried in the Evergreen on Nash Street. So I was like, the headstones are above the ground, as I was looking in the picture. So I told Brandon and Matt, I said, yo, let's go look for Doug. They're like, who's that? I said, it was a coworker of mine. I just want to go see. Well, we were looking around, and we found him. Well, Matthew, he found him, and, yeah, I made a song for him, and he's just, I go see him sometimes when I have a chance. When I'm in Wilson and I go visit my buddy Aaron, I drive, like, a couple more minutes, and I'll go see him and pay my respects, because it just, you know, that was something I was scared of happening to me, be like, oh, I'm happy, living a good life, and then next thing you know, it's like, everybody's like, what the fuck happened, you know? And that was my biggest thing. I didn't want people to, especially my parents, to be like, oh, or like my friends be like, oh, like, it's too late now. Because, you know, that bugged me a little bit, and I didn't know Doug personally. Just worked with them and hung out with him twice outside of work. That was it. And that, like, bugged me, and I was like, you know, now feeling it myself, I'm just like, I don't want to be the next Parker guy to go.
All right.
At least out of that way.
You're getting ready to get on the phone with my big boss.
All right.
She says 3 minutes, she's got to use the restroom. So as soon as she, like, gets on the phone with me, you know, talk exactly how you're talking to me. Like, be articulate with your words. Tell her, I mean, I want to tell her how your work ethic was when you worked for me. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to say, you know, he was always, you know, the first one there. You know, he put in extra effort. He always had a good attitude. And I want you to go in to, like, how you had sales experience, like, with the Dish Network stuff, okay?
All right.
I mean, you're going to have to take a really hard course. But, I mean, once you take that course, man, sky's the limit for you. Have you got an iPad by chance?
My mother has one, so, yeah, I can use it, though.
Okay, cool. That's all you need. As soon as she messages me back, I'm merging that call. And yeah, I think this would be a life-changing experience for you. I think that it would, like, take away your anxiety, depression. And, like, you're not just, like, you know, going out making a paycheck. You work for yourself, and you're also changing people's lives. But I can tell you one thing. I never once talked negatively about you and the fact that Brad was, like, throwing me under the bus. He was scared I was going to take his job if I went back part-time.
I always thought that he was worried that you were going to be an owner before he was.
I would have been. Brad quit. I was the one that hired his ass back. He quit and went to Ichiban.
Ugh.
Trying to do the hibachi bullshit, and he failed at that, and he was, like, begging for a job, and I gave him a job back.
But he talks like that behind your back is kind of weird to me.
We used to be roommates.
What do you think went wrong?
I kicked his ass out of the house, for one. I was like, you know, everything in this house is mine. I was like, I can't even, like, get on my TV. Because his girlfriend, so initially it was supposed to be just him and I, and the girlfriends that we had wanted to come over, they could spend like a night or two a week. Well, next thing you know, Nicola was like staying every single night. I'm having to pay for her to take a shower. And another thing was, like, I would wash dishes one week, he would wash dishes the next week. Well, when it was my week to wash dishes, they would pile up both sinks. When it was my week to wash dishes, there might be four or five plates in the sink.
So he didn't wash much, but when it was your turn, you had to wash the whole city.
Yeah, they cook all kinds of bullshit. And, like, all the dishes were mine. So I didn't want them to be ruined.
Right.
And I started dating a girl, and she started staying, like, one or two nights a week. And I was respectful on my end. I told him, I was like, he's like, oh, man, she got kicked out of her house. You know, she don't have anywhere to go. I was like, well, fuck, she's already staying here like three or four nights a week. I was like, we can split everything three ways. And she used to walk around the house with her damn, like, white T-shirt on, no bra, like, nipple showing. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like, come and fuck me. I ain't going to do that. Like, that's not me. And I, number one, I didn't like her. And so, long story short, I kicked him out. When our year lease was up, I was like, man, I was like, everything in the house, he's like, I want to stay here. I was like, well, too bad. I was like, why am I going to move all my stuff out of the house? I was like, what are you going to have? I was like, 90% of the shit in this house, other than what's in your room, is mine. But, I mean, I guess he's got a little bit of resentment. I don't know. But I used to give him so much. I mean, he was just like a full-time waiter. I used to give that motherfucker so much slack. Right. But now, I mean, I see through the bullshit. Like, he was scared that I was going to replace him because him and Kevin don't get along anymore. Like, Kevin wouldn't even talk to him. Like, when I was in there, I went in there for lunch one day and went and sat in room one. And, like, they didn't say two words to each other. And, like, me and Eric would talk all the time. Like, even though I kind of disliked Eric, get off my damn pillow!
Yeah, I'd see you guys especially. Because y'all worked the most together. Every time it was, like, your time, I would see you and Eric the most, and then it would be Brad and Kevin the most.
Yeah, like, that's how it worked. I worked under Eric, Brad worked under Kevin.
My mom said she went there the other day, and, like, a couple weeks back, and she said that the Brunswick stew is, like, completely nasty now.
The service sucks.
I mean, when you have a manager that doesn't give a shit like he used to, I mean, he was all over everybody's ass, and now it's like, oh, well, come on, boys, do what you want now. Free for all.
I mean, like, I went in there, and, like, Chad's not even, I mean, it's not the same anymore, man. Like, Chad's all right, but he's very passive. Whereas, all right, so we went in there for my girlfriend, like, one of her best friends got married a couple weeks ago. So all of her family, they wanted to go to Parker's, right?
Right.
And I look up at the head table in room two. They all had their backs. And Donald's sitting right there. They all had their backs to the customers. I was like, oh, and they were passing on our family style. We didn't have any plates. So I walked up there, and I was like, AJ, I was like, man, can we get some plates? And I was like, not before y'all. I was like, why do y'all have your backs to your client? I was like, 221 needs tea. They've been waving their tea pitcher up for like 2 minutes. I was like, 25 needs slaw. It's sitting on the edge of the table. I was like, 220 needs barbecue chicken sauce. I was like, 214, they need more fried chicken. I was like, what are y'all doing? I was like, do y'all not walk around and check tables?
No.
And they kind of looked at me, and AJ was like, he was the manager before Chad. And that's when he said, if he was the manager, y'all wouldn't be here.
Yeah, because you, like, you put your foot down on that shit.
I mean, I always, like, I would play around with guys, you know what I'm saying? But when it was crunch time, I wanted y'all to be, like, on point.
Right.
And then, like, once we closed down, we could play around and do whatever. I thought I was a decent boss. Like, I was strict when I needed to be strict. But I was also, I wanted to be your friend as well, because you can get a whole lot more out of sugar than you can with shit. So if I'm good to you, you're going to be good to me. Like, Caleb Cox, you remember him?
Yeah.
I hated that motherfucker. He was such a brown noser. You couldn't tell where Donald's ass started and his ended. Like, he was so far, and John Varnell, same way. But me and John now, we actually work together. And he's changed. He's a completely different person.
Yeah, John seemed like he was a little bit full of himself, like, yo, I'm the man, like, always, and I'm like, John, like, come on, buddy, we're all here together, like, you walking down, you know, the hallway, like, you got a red carpet rolled out for you.
Hey, I'm getting ready to call her right now, so be on your A-game, all right?
All right. Sorry about that, everybody. He wanted me to be on the phone with his boss, and I didn't want to record that whole conversation. I was up here doing a podcast episode literally right before he called me. And we're just talking about depression and everything. And he wants to help me out because, you know, I've been going through a lot financially, been struggling with bills. I just hope that this job I can actually work through because, you know, they do life insurance. And at first I was a little iffy about it because I remember, like, people calling me with life insurance. And I was like, yo, I'm 26, or I was 25. And then they would, like, immediately hang up on me. And I didn't want to be that person, like, bother people for, you know, anything. But, you know, I'm really good at sales and shit like that, but I'm just worried that, you know, who's going to train me? Who's going to do this? Because I'm so used to, like, regular businesses, like brick and mortar or, like, DoorDash or something. I'm not really used to, like, doing anything with insurance, being an agent of some sort. The closest thing I got to being an agent is a daggone guest service agent, which is working the front desk at Marriott. So, I mean, we're not on the phone now, and I just felt like he had something to say. He saw my Snapchat, me just talking about depression and, you know, been struggling with it for quite a few years, especially these past 6 years, and he wanted to help a brother out, which, you know, he said the test is going to be hard. He had to take it a couple times, which is a little nerve-wracking, honestly. I'm just like, I hope I can continue to pass it. You know, I hope I can, like, pass it. And, you know, he said that it could be life-changing. So, I trust him, so I'm not going to say that, okay, no. I mean, he said he only worked for, like, 1 week, and as you might have heard, and got $300. Like, worked for 1 day, and he got $300. So, I mean, you know, he said you could work around things, which is cool, you know, like if your car needs work on or all that. I don't know if y'all heard all that, but, you know, it works out, and I think that's pretty good, honestly. I just worry about, you know, what to do. I've always been the anxiety type. Like, I'm good to talk to people and stuff, but, like, we do a Zoom call, and then, like, I gotta go to these houses by myself. I don't know these people. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to somebody else, you know? Oh, he's calling me back. Hold on. So we talked for a little bit longer. I decided to come back and record this a few days later. That's what I wish I could do with my music, man. I don't know how they do it. They'll write, record a verse, and then they come back. Me, if I run out of breath, I stop the recording, and then I start again, and you can literally tell. I don't know if anybody else can, but you can literally tell that I stopped and started again instead of doing the whole verse over again. But with this, I don't know what it is. I could stop the podcast and come back and you guys would never fucking know, unless if you're really good at picking stuff out like that, right? So he never sent me the link, and he wants me to be there Monday at 7:30. I was gonna dress up, you know, get on Zoom. He was like, make sure to mute the mic until they tell you to speak. Which, I'm used to that, because, I mean, I had an interview one time where I did that. But the thing is, like, he didn't even send it to me, and I'm like, well, buddy, don't expect me to be on Zoom Monday at 7:30 if you didn't even send me the Zoom meeting link. You know what I'm saying? I went and changed my Zoom profile picture to me where I dressed up for my birthday. I actually looked very, very nice, because the picture was me and my ex-girlfriend. I was like, nope, gotta change that picture. And then I finally found out how to change it, because, you know, your boy's a little bit slow on that. But I appreciate him reaching out to me. Me and Carlton, we've had our ups and downs, like he said. But like I was telling you guys, my other manager was pretty much pinning him against each other, because I thought he was a dickhead. Because, you know, he would come off like the pretty boy, kind of funny and stuff. You know, he was 33 at the time, but he's got a full beard now, and, like, he is a whole lot different than he was back then. Like, it's crazy. He left me a voicemail one time when we were having issues, and I couldn't find it, but I found it now on this computer that I have. But that was the thing. It was like, Brad would always say, oh, well, Carlton said you were terrible last night, or this, that, and the third. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? What? The system has detected the storage capacity of a battery started below the very low for option perform. What the fuck? It's because I haven't turned that computer on in a while. I need to take shit off this computer, though. This red computer and my old computer. My first computer doesn't even show the internet. Like, it doesn't give me the option for the internet, and I'm ready just to pull all the footage off, because I am so scared of losing footage, because I'm that type of guy. Like, if I make, like, an ASMR video, I could care fuck less, because I can go back and remake that over again, right? But I can't remake me being 14 at Disney, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, hey, I need you to get out of your grave, put the same shit you had on, age yourself back to that time period, and let's go stand in the exact same spot and take a picture. You just can't. Oh, no. I hope nothing's wrong with this computer. Son of a bitch. It's blue screen now. Oh, man. But, yeah, I was going to play the audio for you guys, but I didn't think that my computer was going to act all wacky as fuck. What the hell? Oh, shit, I unplugged the computer. Now it's like, oh, no. Please tell me it's not one of those computers where it has to stay plugged in, because that's what happened to my old computer. The fucking battery is so bad that you have to keep it plugged in. Okay, so my computer, the one I'm talking on right now, let me unplug it. Great. Fucking great. Last thing I need is this red computer messing up. Because I have my whole fucking album on that computer. So, yeah, and I still needed to get it mixed and mastered and everything. So, fuck. Hopefully it works. But, yeah, it's just, it's very crazy. The time period that we were working, me and him, it just, I resented him because of what I was being told. You know, I should have been an adult, like I told him, y'all heard me say, I wasn't mature enough to have that conversation with him. It was just easier to go and make a song and make fun of him and shit, which was completely ass. If you ask me, it was a terrible fucking diss record I made against him. Because at that time, I was still in the beginning stages of rapping, and I couldn't hear the beat. Because I had Windows Live Movie Maker, so I'd take a beat off of YouTube, put it on Windows Live Movie Maker, take a bunch of footage, which is like pictures and shit, and I would make the pictures extend, copy and duplicate all the pictures, and make it as long as the song is, the beat. And then I'd do a voiceover, but the voiceover wouldn't let you hear the beat. And so a lot of times, you couldn't really hear the beat. And then I got Mixcraft later on, thank God. And by that time, the beef was already over. So that's what's good about that. But he's a good guy, and I'm glad that he's looking out for me. You know, my homies haven't really looked out for me like that. You know, I loved him to death. Don't get it ever fucked up. But, you know, everybody's got their lives going on and shit. And he asked me if I wanted to live with him one time back in 2019. I was like, nah, man. I just, you know, because at that time, you know, we were getting over the beef, and I don't want to move in with a guy I just got over beef with. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know him well enough like that. And he doesn't know me well enough. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with them. It's just when you don't know people well enough, especially somebody you had issues with, you don't really want to just jump in something that you're not very comfortable with. So I appreciate him reaching out to me and make sure that I don't, like, kill myself or anything like that. Because we did have a coworker we were just talking about named Doug, who, sadly, if y'all heard, he took his life, and that was 2019. So the crazy part is in 2016, I actually walked around that cemetery that he was buried in before he was put there. You know what I'm saying? I've been over there twice because, like I said, when Michael was first, like, when I first saw Michael on heroin, when his grandparents came pick me up at that grocery store, the cemetery was right there. You know what I'm saying? And I walked through it with Jay, Mackenzie, Shane, and Alyssa. We all walked through it, and yeah, that was way before. We were, like, pointing out last names that were like ours or similar to ours, and yeah, it was just, it was wild. It was fucking wild, if you ask me. And it breaks my heart because Doug was such a nice guy. You know, depression comes in all different ways, man. It can, people can hide it. Some people are just like, oh, let me be the exciting, fun friend to make sure that you're okay. But behind closed doors, when I go home, I'm depressed as a motherfucker. Or you have friends that are, like, depressed, and you can see that they're depressed, like me or Matthew, where you can tell we're depressed. Or like me, who I'm depressed, and you can see it, but I want to talk about it to get over it. A lot of people can't do that, but I can, because if I hold it inside, it eats me alive, and then it turns to rage, and then I take it out on people who don't deserve it to be taken out on. And they don't understand. They're like, what the fuck did I do wrong? You know? So I don't know, it's just, it's a very weird slope, a slippery slope, if you honestly ask me, and it's just, it's sad, it really is, and I want people to get help. I want people to be able to understand that it's okay not to be okay, and yeah. Me and him, we didn't talk about anything else but that job, so that's why it's just me up here now instead of just me and him, because, you know, we didn't talk about anything else, but you know, I wish him the best and I wish everybody else the best. And I want to help do some shadow work and fix myself and get myself out of this shithole that I'm in, you know. And what the fuck? Piece of shit computer won't let me. Still doing that loading screen up. I guess it hasn't been on in a while, so. Oh, well. Yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. We all go through some shit, and I don't want people to feel like, well, I'm not going through as bad as somebody else, so let me not bitch and complain, right? Let me just do me. Oh, shit, the oven's on. I gotta go get my pizza real quick. Shit, I need to go put my pizza in the oven. It's probably beeping down there. Alexa, turn on Living Room Echo.
Living Room Echo doesn't support that.
Bitch, Alexa, drop in Living Room Echo. Let's see. Okay, she's dropping in. That's cool. We got the screen ones, so I could see what's going on down there. The one in the guest room, you can connect, but it's only audio. See if it's beeping. Pull it over close to me. Okay. I don't hear it. I see Remy on the couch. Remy! What's up, dude? I can hear myself from my way up here. That's funny as shit. Well, let me go put the pizza in the oven real quick, and then I'll be back. I'm going to let this computer boot up, and then I'm going to play the audio for you guys, and then I'm going to get off the podcast. So, love you guys. I'll be right back. Almost said love you guys, bye. But hold on, be right back. All right, so when I recorded these, thank God, because I don't have them on my voicemail anymore because I got a new phone, and so all my voicemails got deleted. So I recorded them for this, so the first one is going to be his apology. Then the second one is when he's coming at me. So let's play them. So they're going to be backwards. So, but that's just how it is. I'm not going to try to fast forward, play the one where he's talking shit to me, and then play the apology. Let's just play them together. Okay? You ready?
Hey, Nick, man. It's Carl from home. Sorry to get back to you, sir. I appreciate that voicemail you left, man. It shows a lot about maturity, and I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I know we have a little of differences or whatever, but yeah, I'm definitely going through some shit, man. I know everybody goes through shit, but right now it's especially tough for me, and give me a call when you get this, dude. Like, hey, this is Nick Adams. Little gingerhead motherfucker. This is Carlton Neekham. If you got a goddamn problem with me, motherfucker, you come to me. I'm sick and tired of seeing your bullshit and listen to your bullshit on social media. If you got a goddamn problem, motherfucker, come to me. I will beat your fucking scrawny little redheaded ass. I don't give a fuck. Now it's personal, motherfucker. I will beat your ass 1 inch of your motherfucking life. Understand me, boy.
He was very pissed off. I wasn't even in. I was never in town when he made that, because I moved to Virginia at this time. So I was at I think Jimmy's uncle's house, which thank God I didn't answer the phone, because I wouldn't have got that funny ass voicemail if it wasn't for me not answering. Well, because we've already had this talk when he fired me, and, you know, my buddy Robbie answered it, and me and him talked a little bit, but then I dropped the song, and the crazy part is, I guess nobody knew that I dropped the song, because I dropped it while I was still living with my roommates, and that was like, what, I moved out, I want to say December? And I don't think he got back to me until, like, February. So, like, 2 to 3 months. I want to say it was December. I think it was November when I dropped it. I'm not really sure. I'll have to go back and look to see when I actually dropped it. Because that voicemail was in February, I want to say. I'm not really sure. Let me see when I actually recorded all this. Because this was night that I recorded, and I'm not really sure if it's going to tell me when all these audios were recorded. I'm not sure. No, it doesn't really tell you. Because I record them all in the night, and I remember my mom telling me, who's that detective talking to you? I was like, this is before the whole situation happened. But it wasn't with him. It was something. My ex-girlfriend ran away, and a detective was calling me about the situation to see if I knew where her whereabouts were. So, let's go on SoundCloud and see when I release that song. I don't know how to get back on it, so... Whoopsie. So let's go and check it out. Okay. So it was dropped 6 years ago. So when would that make it more? Let's see. I don't know how to... damn, I got 242 plays. Shit. So 6 years ago, exactly. How long was 6 years? 2016? So I'm not really sure. It doesn't say exactly when, though, does it? Nope. Let's just say... yeah, it just says 6 years ago. It doesn't tell me anything. It does not tell me anything at all. I'm mad confused. Okay. Whatever. Okay, so 6 years ago, it had to be 2016. So... 2020, 2021, 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016. Yep, it was 2016 when I dropped it, because I was still at my roommate's house, and I remember dropping it, but I don't wonder what took him so long to actually get back to it. I guess the boys found out when they went on my Spotify page. Because somebody gave me the name, right? Me and Carlton were having problems because I made fun of him and Parker's too. And it was just a little fun little jab at him. And then he didn't like that. And somebody told me that he was pissed off at me. And then he started treating me a little bit differently. So when he fired me because I wrecked my car, and I mean, me and him having a little bit of issues, because there was one day where he was like, oh, come in to work, you're on the schedule. And I came in to work, and this was when I was living with my parents. It was like, oh, sorry, we don't need you today. And then I ended up speeding, and I ended up getting pulled over by a cop and got a ticket. So I resented Carlton for that the first time. And then after, you know, Brad and I talk, and Brad was saying that Carlton didn't like me and all this other shit, I was like getting mad. So I made fun of him and Parker's too, and the boys were like, yo, y'all should take a jab at Carlton. Because they knew me and Carlton didn't get along, so they hyped it up. And then after Parker's too, you know, Carlton, you know, expressed to me that he didn't like it. Like, he was like, you don't like the way you make fun of me. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, then when I wrecked my car, hurt my leg, and one Sunday I didn't show up for work because I didn't know I was put on the schedule. And so he ended up letting me go. And so that kind of like caused the whole beef between us. And so I think it was Alex or Chris. One of them gave me the name Krusty Meekums. I don't know what Krusty is supposed to mean, but it was some shade. He didn't stink or anything. It wasn't like he was like smelling like dog shit and ass. You know what I'm saying? Carlton took showers and he smelled fine. But, you know, it just... makes no sense, in my opinion. Makes no sense why we called him that. But that's where the whole downfall is. And then he heard the song, and then he came at me on those voicemails. But like I said, we talked in 2019 after Doug died, and then we just talked, as you heard on this podcast. I would love to sit down with him in person and actually talk to him about life and everything that's been going on, and actually talk about the situation more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're past it, but I want to, like, know what his point of view is and everything else. I mean, we heard a little bit up here, but he wanted to talk more about the job stuff. I wanted to talk more about the drama, because that's just me. I'm an asshole, right? Well, thank you, Carlton, for the love and respect. I really do appreciate it, and, yeah. I'm going to have one more Parker's release, but... you know, it is what it is. It needs that closure. Parker's last edition was pretty good, but I need to give that closure. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to drop one more, and I'm going to have those audios in it. The threatening one in the beginning, and then the one at the end, because, you know, we need to close the chapter for good. So it is what it is. I love you guys. Carlton, I love you as well. When you hear the song, I know using the audios is not what you're going to like and, you know, all that, but it is what it is. So I love you guys. I will catch you in the next episode. Bye for now.